What I always like to say to my people, please take photos of me. Because I don't mind. I don't mind, because I want people to record this. I want people to have the understanding of it. What's it mean, and so forth and so forth. Now, my friend, they are edible. You can see how it's starting to wither. It'll fold in. It's only out beautiful for one day. Now, what I'm going to do is to pluck that. Here we go. Just to split it up into halves. Now, you and your partner go off.
Right.
Now, then you and your partner go off. Now, the centre of it, I don't know what I did.
Yeah, no, I've got it.
If you look at that centre, it's like what we call the rosella. See the rosella?
Eat the rosella.
Mm. Mm. After we've finished eating that, we throw this back. Because this will seed again.
Mm. Mm.
To make their ropes and strings and so forth.
This variety.
Yeah, all varieties of native hibiscus, which they're all are edible. Beautiful. Yeah, you may take notice, I got nothing on my back. No lunch, nothing. I have my little nibble on the way up and the nibble on the way back. Now, this young girl, my dear, that is very poisonous. That's full of cyanide. But my people have mastered it by treating it in a fire, cooking it, pulverizing it, leaching it by putting it in a running stream of water to leach the poison out of it. And they made their bread by rolling it into grinding it into flour, mixing it with water as into a dough, into the damp ashes for ashes damper. What we call trial and error within our culture. The old ones volunteer. So I could tell by the crushing of this leaf that it's not going to do what I need it to do. But I'm going to give it a good go. This is our soap bush. We'll get soap out of this. I've got to get it in the ball if I can. It ain't going to work. It's too dry. You know. Can't get it to lather. But this lady know what I mean. It's called a native, commonly known as white myrtle. Because the leaves are dry, I could tell by when I picked it up to crush it. But it lathers just like your ass soap, or asshole soap. Diddle, diddle. Diddle. Yeah. When the boys were being initiated, they give them a handful of this. When they chew it, I'll give you the taste of it in a minute. Bite it, their mouth go numb. And when they start dribbling, they call them over and put a solid stick and a rock. There goes the toothy peg. Don't break it. Roll it around.
Just roll it around.
Mm-hmm. And dip it under your tongue. We, as indigenous people of this country, we call Mother Earth. The Earth is their mother. We wouldn't have a life without her. She creates a lot of things. She goes through a lot of traumatic things, such as flooding, firing, but it revegetates our countryside. Where I'm pointing out here is the last lot of debris that came down in this last flooding we had. Now, while that is down here, it now becomes a home for some other little animals and so forth. So Mother Nature does its duty. As it takes away, it puts back and provides for the near future and so forth. Throughout my explanation about my ancestral culture, significant meaning in this gorge, I've always said to people that my story was told by my grandmother that this was a very, very sacred site to our people. One was about our women giving birth, as they say, birthing place. The second is about a burial ground. I do come up here and I explain to the people that my ancestral people never lived nor hunted or gathered in this gorge, but all those things were done on the outside of the gorge, all those activities were done out there. Well, we as Indigenous people of this whole of Australia, we all believe in two most significant things. One is the guardian angel, which we all have on our wall and always facing the main entrance, and also the rainbow serpent, which meaning in my language, Mundagara. Mundagara, which meaning rainbow serpent. That's our protector of a permanency of waters. We believe anyone or anybody defacing that, we believe that the water will dry up altogether. where those two half-moon-shaped boomerang, not the first one, the second one, underneath that second one, you see a stenciling of a hand that has a thumb and the first index fingers. In my culture, we were allowed to have no more than three children to a family. Okay, the hands that you see representing your family. There's your father, your mother, first, second, and third child. But whichever people, person has died, they fold it over. So therefore, they're saying they have no family. Prior to that, little child has been passing on, had died maybe 2 to 3 days before it was brought in for burial. In the meantime, rigor mortis has set in. If you look carefully, that little child's thumb is bent like so. And again, it's bendy and warped together. So she's saying by folding her little pinky over, she has lost her last baby. Coming back to these guys, people say clap stick. Sticks don't clap, that's clapping. This is a rhythm stick that we make our music with. People pick it up and say, I can play it. Hear the dullness? They're holding it. No. Put it in your hand, and there you go. There it is. Hear the echo? Again, same material, stringy bark or budgeroo bark. The little grass tree. As I said this morning, there's five uses off this little grass tree, which is usable for our people. The women would use this bit here, the leaves, to make their dilly bag handle. And while it's nice and flexible up the top here, will be flowering shortly, and they hit it like so to get the honey nectar from off it. After the flowering, the seedling will start to sprout, and then they use the seed to get to make their bread out of. Then when it's nice and dry, they use it as a fire stick. And also when it's finished growing, it's dead, they use it as a spear shaft. So that's what I meant by this morning of revegetating the countryside. My sharing of this gorge to the people is about what my ancestors have left here behind, to let the public out there know what is so beautiful and significant to our people that are from this area called Carnarvon Gorge.